Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us,
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth all our sins. To them that believe in his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. We continue with the introit, half verse by half verse. My soul magnifies the Lord.
And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
My mouth derides my enemies.
Because I rejoice in your salvation.
There is none holy like the Lord. The barren has borne seven.
But she who has many children is
the Lord kills and brings to life.
He brings
the Lord makes poor and makes rich.
He brings low and exalts.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord.
And my spirit
Glory be to God on high.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday of Advent comes to us from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he will give them up until that time, when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Here endeth the reading. The epistle comes to us from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here endeth the epistle. The gradual, half verse by half verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Please rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Here endeth the gospel. Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, we confess our common Christian faith. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. The inspired word of God, which forms the basis of our message today, comes to us from the gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, just read. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. I'm sad. I like the blue shirt, the blue stoles, the blue paraments, all the blue. Maybe it's because my eyes are blue, I don't know. But I do like that. My favorite time of the year, and probably with many of you, your favorite time of the year. But it's also an exciting time. It's exciting because Advent means coming. We remember the coming of our Lord and Savior in the past. 6 days, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, the birthday of our Lord and Savior. We celebrate, we recognize, we remember our Lord coming to us today in the hearing of his word, proclaimed, read, and we look forward. The excitement, we look forward to his coming again, his parousia in the eschaton, the end times, when he will come to judge the living and the dead and gather us all up and take us to be with him in heaven for all eternity. Thinking of all this, do you think God really cares about you? Do you think he cares about his children? We are his children, if you're baptized. If you are baptized, you are one of God's own children. So I ask again, do you think he cares about you? And we'll probably say, yeah. Healthy, got a great family, I have this, I have this, I have this. God is good, God is great, he cares about me. But what about when we're not so healthy? Or when the car breaks and you got to spend $300 for some little valve? Is God still great? Does he still care about us? Or even worse, when we're struck by that C word, called cancer, or the crops all fail, or whatever it may be. But we, as Christians, can say that despite all in the world, God cares about us. He cares about his children. And today we have a historical account of how God cared for one of his children, Mary. Mary. And God's son within her. For you see, this young woman, somewhere between the age of 13 and 17, with child, traveled from Nazareth through Jerusalem to the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, she didn't hop a plane. She didn't drive her Mercedes. She didn't take the bus. She walked. She walked those 80 miles. She walked for probably 3 or 4 days to get there. And of course, people back then, as people should today, traveled in groups, strong groups, strength in number. And God watched over her, Mary, as she traveled that distance to be with her cousin down there in the hill country outside of Jerusalem. And of course, when she gets there, what does she find out? Well, Elizabeth is with child. In fact, she's been with child for about 6 months. She is carrying within her John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, another miracle. Because Elizabeth and Zechariah were well beyond their years for having a baby. So again, by the work of God, this came about. And Mary's journey began a whole bunch of journeys. A whole bunch of journeys for the child that she carried that would eventually end on that cross outside of Jerusalem. Well, why? Why did Mary go down there? Why did she go visit her cousin. She wants to go visit her cousin. We can look at it that way. But what we can also look at is, who did this bring together? It brought together John the Baptist, God's bulldozer. Remember? He's going to make way for who? His cousin, Jesus, the Messiah. These two are going to come together for the first time in that hill country. This is a great historical event, a great theological event. If you were ever to travel over there to Israel, they actually have what they think was their house. I'm sure it's been rebuilt. But there's a statue outside, and it has Mary and Elizabeth facing each other. And, of course, 6 months, she has quite a belly on her. And Mary's belly isn't too big. But there it is, and you can sit there, and you can comprehend and think about how great this meeting was of these two. So they come together. They're coming along. And Mary gets to the house. And I'm sure they had servants, because Zachariah and Elizabeth, they had a little bit of money. They had a nice home. They probably had some service, especially since he was a temple priest. And Mary comes to the door or to the courtyard, and it's announced. And Mary says, "Elizabeth, I'm here," or whatever her greeting was. Maybe she said, "The Lord be with you," or whatever it is. And Elizabeth said, the baby in her womb did what? Leaped. Actually, if you look at the word, it says skipped. I think leap sounds better. You really can't skip in a womb. I don't know, maybe you can. Anyway, the child knew, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the child knew that his Lord was there. And the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth and announced to her, the Messiah is here within your cousin Mary. On a side note, John leaped or skipped. Tell that to those who favor abortion and want to kill babies in the womb. Well, God bless these women with their sons. Bless them as they come together. And what did Elizabeth say? How did she respond? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then Mary responds with a song that we now call the Magnificat. The Magnificat. And this is how the church responds ever since. Did we sing a hymn this morning? We did. That hymn was written in the 11th century, and we're still singing it today. O come, Emmanuel, God with us, come. Great Advent hymn. And we sing other hymns, and we sing our parts of the liturgy. This is what the church does. We sing. You had the children come up and sing this morning. Friday night, they're going to be singing again for the Christmas recital. And on Christmas Day, we will sing some great Christmas hymns, and the two Sundays of Christmas afterwards. This is what we do, following the example of the ancient church. All the way until Christ comes again, we will sing and we will get excited about singing. Don't you? Did you get excited about coming here today? Do you get excited when Jesus comes in your midst? I don't see one head nodding yes. I know, it was cold out this morning, right? Mom and Dad said, get out of bed, you got an acolyte today, didn't they? Yep, see? Hey, we got one honest person here today. Yeah, did you want to get up? Yep, there he is. Honesty, yeah. I didn't either. I didn't want to get up at 3 o'clock this morning when the neighbors across the street were making all kinds of noise. But they woke me up, so I got up anyway. And it was cold. Yeah, don't like getting up in the winter, do we? Especially if it's a Sunday, we can just sleep in. But that really isn't excitement about the Lord, is it? Were you excited about coming to Bible study this morning? a little bit? Wanted to hear about Jesus' birth, how we're studying the cultural archaeology, the truth about Jesus' birth, and some of the non-truths? Do we get excited about that or not? Or just come because, yeah, we got to go to church. Yeah, we got to be at Bible study. Yeah, we got to come there today because mom and dad said we got to come today. And yeah, we better go because it's my parental responsibility to get all the kids there. And we could go on and on and on about that, right? What happens in 6 days? You're going to rip all the presents open, aren't you? I am. Yeah, if I got any. Yeah. But what have you been thinking about? Have you been fretting about what you're going to get this child or that child? Have you been fretting what you're going to get your wife, if you're going to get your wife anything at all? Have you been fretting about what you're going to do for Christmas dinner? Are we having turkey? Are we having ham? Who's all coming over? We were given an invitation, but then somebody says, well, maybe you shouldn't come because it's right after church and you're going to show up dressed like a priest, and that might not go so well with some of our relatives. So we said, nah, it's a little far. We won't go there. All right? So we think about all these things, all these preparations for this holiday, and does it cause some anxiety? It does. It does. People go nuts. They go nuts in the stores. They go nuts on the road. They go nuts in the house, right? I got to get all these gifts wrapped. I got to do this. I got to do that. Now the kids get... We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? But our thoughts have been where? With all the busyness of preparing for Christmas. And come Christmas or whenever you open your gifts, 10 minutes and it's all over, right? You spend half the day cooking and in 15 minutes everybody's gobbled it up and they're plopped down in front of the TV set sleeping. Where is the joy, the anticipation, the looking forward to the coming of the Savior? That is what should bring us joy. Not the gifts, not all of this. All this is nice, it's great, it's wonderful. But the joy of celebrating his birthday and the joy of looking forward to when he comes again. Who was the first catechumen in the New Testament? Mary. The angel Gabriel catechized Mary, told her what was going to go on with her, that she was going to bear the Christ child. Then Jesus went on and talked about how it's so joyful to hear God's word and that we should be happy to be here today because he said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is why we should be happy. And we should use that in our lives. If you think of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? That means we gladly hear, learn, read, mark, inwardly digest, and take God's word to heart and live holy lives according to it like Mary did, like Elizabeth did, like all the saints who have gone before us did with great joy. So that all of these things could be fulfilled. Let's go back to Mary. Tell me some things about Mary. How about this? Who was inside of Mary? Jesus, the Son of God, the new Israel. So Mary could be looked at as the new Israel traveling to Judea. Where did God dwell in the old Israel? Did he dwell in the temple, in the Holy of Holies? Yes. Where is God dwelling now? In Mary. Mary at that time was the temple of God because she carried within her the Son of God. Think of another Old Testament example. What did the Hebrew people carry about the hillside throughout the hills of all Judea? Was it the Ark of the Covenant? Yes. We could liken Mary to the Ark of the Covenant because she carried within her the new covenant, the new creation. She carried within her incarnate God, God in the flesh, who comes to us today. The season of Advent is our journey to Bethlehem. This morning, you journeyed to Bethlehem. You journeyed here to Zion Lutheran Church to be catechized, to hear God's word, to sing praises to God. You came here to have your sins absolved, as you do each Sunday. You came here to be with Jesus and to receive his gifts in this place. As we wait for Christmas, these next 6 days, we are going to join with Elizabeth and all the saints who have gone before us, who sang that first hymn to the Mother of God. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise for the offertory.
Please rise for the prayer of the church.
O Lord, mighty God, there is none like you in holiness, constancy, and might. yet you exercise your power for the salvation of sinners. As we draw near to the celebration of Jesus' birth, fill our hearts with gratitude that your Son humbled himself and became flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, mighty God, Bethlehem was too small to be among the clans of Judah, yet from it came forth the King of Kings. Remember the congregations of your people, where numbers are small and resources are scarce. Provide for their needs and remind them that the Lord of Lords dwells among them in his means of grace. We ask you, O Lord, to be with Zion, this congregation, as they discern the calling of another pastor, that you watch over them, guard, guide, and direct all that they do, and that you would prepare for them a servant to come and serve among them. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, mighty God, you make poor and you make rich. Receive our humble thanks for the gifts of daily bread. Give us contentment with what you provide. Preserve us from coveting what you do not give, and grant that we would be wise stewards of all your blessings. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, mighty God, you helped your servant Israel, and your mercy endures forever. Look upon those brought low by illness, injury, grief, or other affliction. We especially pray for Ed, Harold, Jean, Esther, Jim, Joyce, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, Thomas, David and Barbara, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia, and all others who are in our thoughts. Have mercy upon them. Grant them healing and strength, and maintain them in the certain hope of your faithfulness to them for Jesus' sake. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, mighty God, you have done great things for us, most of all delivering us from death to life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mercifully hear our prayers and answer them according to your will for the sake of your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. Couple of announcements. When I was asked to say that the cheese balls are in the fridge. So if you ordered one, bought one, they're in the fridge. And I guess there's a couple extra. Whoever said that. So I don't know, but that's where they are. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Couple of days, it's going to be Christmas, and I just hope to see all of you on Saturday. I know it's Saturday, Christmas Day, as we will have Holy Communion service on Saturday. Friday night is the children's recital. Please come out and support the children in attending with that. And then Sunday will be the first Sunday of Christmas, and we will have the service of Matins that day. We are going to continue our study around the birth, the historical birth of Jesus that morning. So we will continue with Bible study on Sunday, a week from today, and of course, the celebration of Jesus' birth on Saturday. Are there any other announcements? None. We'll have a blessed week, and if I don't see you next weekend, a Merry Christmas to all of you.